Coming up next on Tech News Today, Mark Zuckerberg goes to court over Oculus technology. Google and LG have a duo of new smartwatches right around the corner. Flying cars might also be right around the corner, thanks to Airbus. Samsung is embroiled in a political scandal in South Korea. And say goodbye to 2G on AT&T. All that and more coming up next on Tech News Today.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today, episode 1685, recorded Tuesday, January 17th, 2017. This episode of Tech News Today is brought to you by Grasshopper. Stay connected and run your business from your mobile phone with Grasshopper. To save $50 on your order, visit trygrasshopper.com/twitch.
Welcome to Tech News Today. This is a show where we tell you some important things about technology.
Sometimes you tell us, though.
Yes, sometimes you tell us, and the rest of the stuff you got to figure out yourself. This is Tech News Today. I'm Megan Maroney.
And I'm Jason Howell. Good to be back. I'm happy that the chair is in good condition. Mm-hmm. It's been kept warm. Mm-hmm. I think there was a seat warmer on it while I was gone.
Yes.
Which is what I demand.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I require in this studio a seat warmer while I'm out of here for some weird reason. How are you?
I'm good. We're back together. The team's back together for a couple more days. Then I'm out on Friday again.
I know. It's kind of musical chairs a little bit here and there, but that just means we get awesome guests in the meantime. You will be missed, but that's not now.
No.
That is later.
No.
Right now, I need your help because we've got tech news to talk about.
Let's do it.
Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg sat in the hot seat of a courtroom battle between Facebook's VR product, that's Oculus, and ZeniMax Media, that's a video game publisher, that actually sued Oculus just a couple of months after Facebook had announced its acquisition of Oculus. ZeniMax accused Oculus of the theft of specific and critical components of the technology that resulted in the finalized Oculus Rift headset technology. Zuckerberg said Facebook is confident that Oculus products were not based in any way on ZeniMax's technology. ZeniMax, of course, publishes games like Fallout and Elder Scrolls, but apparently ZeniMax, John Carmack, had shown ZeniMax technology to Palmer Luckey, who's the founder of Oculus, in the very early days of the company. Carmack then later joined Oculus, and ZeniMax says it wasn't compensated for sharing any of that information, that some of that technology ended up inside Oculus, and we're taking you to court.
Yeah, so was it a situation where, I mean, Palmer Luckey was probably like, I don't know, 12, maybe 15 years old.
Yeah,
and it was
13,
like Carmack was kind of making it out to be like, I was just helping this kid. But yeah, this is, it's a rare for Mark Zuckerberg to be in court.
Or to wear a suit.
Yes, or to
wear
a suit.
Which he wore.
Yes. You can follow the Twitter streams of people who were in the courtroom. Which I find that's probably more amusing than if you were actually in the courtroom.
Yeah, you get the juicy nuggets.
Some of them was Zuckerberg. They were trying to bring up Zuckerberg's motto, which we always bring up when we're criticizing Facebook, which is like, move fast and break things, which doesn't sound very good when it's like said back to you in court. But
yeah,
Zuckerberg
right.
said back, our new motto is build fast by building stable infrastructure, but it doesn't have quite the same ring to it.
No, that sounds more like a Microsoft motto or something. Microsoft gets in there and mucks it up with a bunch of words. And Zuckerberg seemed to think that this was more a case of, you know, where big company buys little company and then suddenly a bunch of other companies that are tangentially related come out of the woodwork to say, hey, we had a piece in this, like give us a piece of the pie. It seemed to be what Mark Zuckerberg was alluding to. Obviously, we don't know exactly how much of an influence it may or may not have had. Mark Zuckerberg also got a little zing in there himself. He said, I'd never heard of ZeniMax before.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Well, so I were they being accused of wiping evidence too, Facebook or Oculus employees? I think that was some of the accusation. He denied it. So who knows? I guess we'll have to wait and see.
We'll have to wait and see. A couple of little random tidbits of information, because apparently Zuckerberg also went on like a tangent of, isn't VR really cool? He said, it's just a little piece of information. Originally, the purchase price was announced for Oculus at $2 billion, but apparently it was actually closer to $3 billion. thanks to incentives, retention bonuses and stuff. I already said Mark Zuckerberg wore a suit, so that's worth noting. And he said good VR isn't fully there yet. He thinks that we need 5 to 10 more years of development, solid development, before Facebook gets to where it wants to go. So Zuckerberg really seems like he's dedicated long-term. Do you think VR will last 5 to 10 years? Megan Maroney, your opinion.
I think AR has a better chance at this point.
Okay.
Or mixed reality. That's my professional opinion on the subject.
But excellent.
Who knows? According to a note to developers spotted by The Guardian, prices for apps in the Apple Store are going up in the UK, India, and Turkey. In the UK, the inflated prices come as a result of the Brexit vote and a 19% fall in the British pound. An Apple spokesperson said price tiers on the App Store are set internationally based on currency exchange rates, as well as other factors, and they fluctuate over time. The price hikes will affect apps for the iPhone, the iPad, and the Mac. So new prices will roll out over the week, so in the next 7 days. So if they're not up yet, you know, you guys
buy everything now, because basically it's on sale.
Yes. And really, the apps are on more in line with the prices you pay now in the United States.
I mean, numerically. But I mean, with the conversion, I mean, it works out to more expensive, right?
Well, no, they're going to be about like $1, about what you pay for an app in the United States. Like the currency rate, well, you'll pay whatever pence there is to $1.
Okay.
Now.
Okay. If Brexit actually results in a 25% markup on lots of products and goods, that is going to be a pretty intense and serious affair.
Yeah. I mean, that's, they've already, like the OnePlus 3 has, the price has gone up. The HTC Vive, the price has gone up. It's not good news.
Yeah. UK, of course, in the whole Brexit scenario, might be set to leave the EU by summer 2019. So I guess this is all ahead of time to kind of prepare for that move. But I think, I mean, app stores do this also. I mean, taking the Brexit aspect of this out of the equation, I mean, apps have different value in different markets. They're not, you know, that and they fluctuate based on how things happen around the world. So this is just kind of part of that. Google and LG are gearing up for a big wearable announcement event on February 9th. At least that's what sources to VentureBeat are saying. Android Wear 2.0, a big platform update, has been expected in the first part of 2017. We didn't know when, and we still don't know officially. This is all rumor at this point. This event is expected to be its coming out party. LG and Google actually worked together to create two smartwatches that will also be unveiled at the event. The LG Watch Sport and the LG Watch Style, both round-faced watches, the Sport being the more kind of premium upper-end watch of the two, the Style being the more affordable, less resolution, that sort of stuff. There they are. These are supposedly the final renders of the watches that we'll see. How do these compare to your hot Moto 360, first generation Moto 360?
Not so great,
no?
To be honest.
Don't like them? No. A little too steely?
You mean the look of them?
Yeah.
They look fine. I mean, I think that a circular smartwatch is an abomination.
Really?
And I'll stand by that. Yes. It needs to be rectangular. It needs to be the same shape, general shape,
like
as an iPhone or an Android phone.
I like
Well,
the
you're wrong
one.
About that. I mean, you're not wrong about a lot of things, but the round
but
watch.
That one thing.
The round watch is garbage.
I'm going to whimper and go in the corner now. What? Why? Because that one is?
Because
you don't like that one?
Because cut off. It should look like this. It should be the general shape of this. And this is...
But it does an all right job of making... You get words cut off and stuff? Is
no, it does
about?
An all right job. It just feels wrong.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever.
It's okay. I mean, you can be
I'm
wrong
excited.
About things. You're right about most things, except for this.
I feel like we're going to get some emails.
Interesting. These watches also are water and dust resistant.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe this is too personal a question, but since you've been wearing my Apple Watch, have you been showering in it?
No.
You know it's totally waterproof, right?
Yeah, but I don't do that.
You don't shower?
I shower. I don't shower.
You don't like
with
to
watches.
Get text messages in the shower?
I don't like to get technology wet if I can avoid it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You can go swimming in that watch.
Yeah, but I don't.
Okay.
You probably can, but I won't.
You can.
Because it's not mine, and one. And two, I just don't like to get technology wet. Like, it just seems wrong.
Like as wrong as a round smartwatch.
Different.
Okay.
We obviously sit on different parts of this discussion.
No, you're just wrong.
It'll have assistant. Is that enough to... Are you enjoying assistant?
I'm enjoying assistant.
Would you like to have that on your wrist?
Well, it's on here too.
Well, no, that's not actually assistant.
Oh, that's just okay, Google?
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's just more Google Now integration. Assistant's more like the AI component that can control your house and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, same, but different.
Okay.
I suppose.
Got it. Well, you know what is right, what is all right, always right? Self-flying cars and the fact that we will have them by the end of this year. At least according to the attention seekers at Airbus. At a tech conference in Munich, an executive at the European aircraft maker says they will test a single-seat flying taxi prototype in Oregon by the end of 2017. Uber is also working on self-flying cars as a way to, of course, avoid gridlock as the city population grows. I don't know. I will believe it when I see it. A lot of times flying cars are just planes that they've done something to say flying cars because it sounds better than a small plane.
Yeah, if it doesn't look like a car with like jet flames coming out of the back that make the car go in the sky, then it's not really a flying car. It's just a really small plane. That's kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah, I want to go where we don't need roads. Don't get me wrong. I do want to go.
Agreed.
I do want to go there. An Airbus has been working on autonomous planes for about a year.
Yeah. Project Vahana, apparently. They've been developing this test and refine the prototype for air transport like this anyways. Autonomous vertical takeoff and landing. So maybe at some point, maybe this leads to the car with the tires that go and then... Then we have flying cars that I can get behind. Until then, really, when are we going to see these like flying through the sky, like flying cars on a regular basis? Is that actually sooner than I think it is?
Because
seems like true science fiction.
Yeah.
Many years down the line. Mm-hmm. But I guess you got to start somewhere.
Burke really needs us to know something so badly that he wrote on his coffee cup, which means he's desperate.
Wheels,
which I think is what you were talking about.
They both work to me, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, and this show is not supported by Starbucks, unless you count the fact that he's been drinking Starbucks and helping.
Yeah, and if he didn't, we might not be able to read words on the screen. Like these words: Twitter's Vine has been waiting to die on the Vine. Get it? Since last October, when it was announced to be going away. That day has come, as today is the final day for the 6-second video service. Users can snag all of their vines from the site for posterity if they choose. The Vine app will turn magically, by way of an app update, into Vine Camera, allowing users to continue shooting 6-second masterpieces to upload to any service they choose, including Twitter. I mean, I think it's directly integrated with Twitter, but you can download it and then do whatever you want. Like this masterpiece of me trying to juggle at my desk.
It's so beautiful. I mean, I did some real journalism this afternoon by testing the Vine camera, and it was beautiful. It was super easy. You could even edit it, which I did not because I
why would you edit this?
I know. Why would you edit this? Especially it's got that dollhouse that you accidentally ordered on Amazon in there, too.
I still haven't put it together, but I plan to because I accidentally ordered it on Amazon. I did not actually.
So, I guess I get that, like, the Vine was a big community and there are Vine stars that have since moved on to Instagram or other places. But to me, it's like all I ever used it for was to be able to take those 6-second videos, and now I can do that. But I can also
do that
in so many other ways.
Totally. Well, it's like, you know, on Twitter has a built-in feature now that loops any video that's less than 6.5 seconds. Mm. So really what Twitter has done is kind of integrated Vine, you know, most of the important stuff that people liked from Vine into regular Twitter functionality by way of the 6-second app. So you kind of get it. I guess what's lacking there is a specific community dedicated to the 6-second format. But many of those people have moved on anyways. That was like a launch pad, a starting point for so many creators. And now they're, you know, creating in other ways. So now, you know, instead you can record 6-second videos of people juggling.
Right. And I encourage you to keep the internet weird. That's what I said when we heard Vine was ending. I want you to send us your Vine camera or your 3-second looping videos of you watching TNT.
Ooh. Yeah, we haven't asked for a Vine of how I watch TNT, but you have to post it to Twitter. So it still works because that's where we usually look for them.
Mm-hmm. Did I say 7 seconds? Three seconds.
Whatever. Three is about all we need. Loop three seconds. That's fine.
Keep it weird by doing 3 seconds.
Yeah, totally. Buck the trend. Coming up, the hits keep coming for Samsung. We'll talk all about that with Elise Hugh from NPR. But first, let's take a minute to thank Grasshopper, the sponsor of this episode. Grasshopper is a virtual phone system designed for entrepreneurs, possibly like you. Grasshopper works just like a traditional phone system, but requires no hardware purchase or software installation because you already have what you need. With their iOS and Android app, callers can reach you wherever you are on the mobile phone that you have in your pocket. Grasshopper allows you to keep your existing number so you can maintain your brand. When you make a call, your client's going to see your Grasshopper caller ID instead of your personal phone number, even though you're calling from your phone with a different number. They're going to see the right one that represents your business. Simply select the toll-free or local number, record a custom greeting, and add multiple extensions for your business. Toll-free numbers are actually great for marketing and make your business sound even more professional. So you can set that up, set up department and employee extensions with custom call forwarding to any phone in the world. You'll get voicemails emailed to you as audio attachments if you prefer to check your voicemails that way. That's another way to do it. You can also send and receive SMS text messages from your business number. Join the over 250,000 Grasshopper customers today. Plans start at just $12 per month, and you have a 30-day money-back guarantee. Turn your smartphone into a business line with Grasshopper. To save $50 on your order, go to trygrasshopper.com/twit. That's trygrasshopper.com/twit. And we thank Grasshopper for their support.
As we told you yesterday, prosecutors have called for the arrest of J.Y. Lee, acting head of Samsung. Joining us from South Korea, where she's been reporting on this corruption scandal, is Elise Hugh from NPR. Welcome back to the show, Elise.
Happy to be here. It's great to see y'all.
So first, let's talk about what the accusations are against Lee.
There are three charges tied to this request for his arrest. It's bribery, embezzlement, and perjury. And it all has to do with this giant political scandal that's been going on in Korea since, gosh, last October or November or so. And so we have been watching these events unfold. They have led to these record-sized protests in the streets, and they've also led to the impeachment in December of the president. The president hasn't been removed yet, but there is an impeachment trial going on in which a constitutional court will decide whether she's going to be removed. The specific charges against J.Y. Lee have to do with payoffs, essentially what Samsung paid the government in order to get something in return. And it wasn't really the government directly, we should specify that. We're talking about a close confidant of Park Geun-hye's, the president, who set up these mysterious nonprofit foundations that didn't really do anything. But Samsung, according to prosecutors, directed $36 million U.S. dollars to these nonprofits, including almost $1 million for a dressage horse because the confidant's daughter is a dressage champ. So I did not make this up.
So this was all in the spirit to, we assume Samsung eventually got some benefit from this horse, etc.
Well, right. The prosecutors allege that what Samsung wanted was favor, a particular favor, which was support for a 2015 merger between two of its affiliates. This merger was actually quite controversial because Elliott, an activist hedge fund in the United States, was against it because they wanted to sort of see a restructuring of Samsung to see that the family had much less control because these patriarchal family-owned conglomerates really dominate South Korea. But one of the biggest shareholders in making this decision was actually the government, the South Korean government pension fund. And so the pension fund did support the merger, which helped it pass. And so there's a lot of questions around who asked for what, whether the money made a difference. We know that there were three meetings between EJ Young, who's J.Y. Lee, and President Park, who is now impeached, within the last few years. And we don't know what was happening between the two of them.
So in reading about this, it seems like you know, this family in particular is no stranger to legal kind of issues, let's say, to put it lightly. Lee's father was convicted of bribery in 1996. There's also tax evasion, breach of trust in 2009. Nothing that resulted in arrest or jail time. And apparently it was cleaned up thanks to a presidential pardon. So this family has a rich history in this sort of stuff. How do they get away with it all the time? And is this going to be any different, do you think?
That's the huge question here in South Korea, because these huge chaebols or family-controlled industrial empires really run so much of the economy. So here in South Korea, my car insurance is Samsung. The convenience stores are run by Samsung, hospitals, hotels, all Samsung. And so the sort of total, near total control that these chaebols, and it's Samsung, it's Lotte Group, which is another big one here, it's SK, which supplies the mobile infrastructure, among other things. The Hyundai, LG, they have such sort of outsized influence in the economy that often what happens with government is they say, we don't want to put this guy in jail because it would be bad for the economy to do so.
Right.
And so that is actually why Egan Hee, who is J.Y. Lee's father, has been able to avoid jail time. They've just erased his record and pardoned him both times that he's been convicted, because Samsung is so critical. They call South Korea the Republic of Samsung. So the big question now is public fervor over the outsized influence of these conglomerates so high that the next president or the current one will not be able to pardon J.Y. Lee if he does end up getting convicted?
Wow.
So when we talk about Samsung, I mean, what you're saying is it's a lot more than just, the Note 7 fiasco. why is this a particularly difficult time for Samsung as a company for this to happen to them?
Well, Samsung will argue that they're fine, essentially, like that the deputies under J.Y. Lee are running the company day to day, and that everything should be okay because he's only bringing in sort of brought in for the big decisions. And they're also questioning whether he should even be arrested at all. So they're questioning the merits of the request for J.Y. Lee's arrest. But yeah, you bring up the Galaxy Note 7. We are expecting, as you all know, the results of Samsung's internal investigation on what went wrong there, within the next week or a couple of weeks or so. So all of this is sort of an unfortunate confluence of events, just as J.Y. Lee was supposed to be set up as the successor to his father, who has been incapacitated in a hospital for almost 3 years now.
And so, you know, you reported on Silicon Valley and tech in the United States before. So what's the comparison there? Like when we start to worry about Facebook or, you know, Peter Thiel or other executives in Silicon Valley having influence over the government, how would you compare the way things operate there with the way things operate here?
I would say the tech companies here have far more influence than any individual company in the United States. And I shouldn't even limit it to tech, because Samsung here is obviously also insurance and shipping and confectionaries and all these other things. So the reason why is because of the way they were set up. They were set up to help fuel South Korea's miracle growth after the war. So South Korea is one of the is spoken of as one of these sort of miracle economies, because it went from one of the poorest nations in the world to one of the richest nations in the world inside of three decades. And that was partially because government chose winners and losers in the 1960s. It was run by a dictator who happens to be this impeached president's father. So all of this is really great drama. But it was run by a dictator, Park Chung-hee, and this father of the current president, this dictator, basically deemed, you know, Daewoo, Samsung, these particular chaebol are going to be the ones that get all the government benefits and free land and all of these supports. And so that has sort of inextricably linked government and chaebol for as long as they've been around. And South Korea has been reluctant to rein them in because they've been so successful for the economy.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see. When's the next development that we're expected to hear?
In a few hours, actually. So J.Y. Lee is about to head to the Seoul Detention Center to wait to learn his fate. A judge has to decide whether he is going to actually issue the warrant for his arrest. And if he does issue that warrant, the de facto head of Samsung will be detained today.
And then what? I mean, at that point, the person who replaced the other person who was leading, I mean, I think his father is still like officially in charge until he passes away, apparently. Right. But I mean, once his son, if he's actually arrested, I mean, what happens at that point?
Samsung hasn't told us of a succession plan. You know, as y'all know, Samsung's has been famously closed and tight about its media relations and what it shares. And so it's kind of an open question who's going to run the company day to day, who they're going to name. And maybe they'll just leave J.Y. Lee in charge, at least in title, hoping that his lawyers will help keep him out of jail.
Right, right.
Well, Elise, thank you so much for joining us. Elise is at NPR. Where's the best place to follow all of your work online these days?
I'm pretty active on Twitter. You can always follow me at Elise, WHO, and on Facebook at facebook.com/EliseHughNPR.
All right. Take care. We'll
thank
see
you, Elise.
You soon.
It's great to see you again.
Hey, thanks, y'all.
All
right. Great to see you.
Have a good day. Floyd Johnson writes into TNT at twit.tv to say, basically just ask a simple question. Say, how weird did it get for each of you to use the other's smartphone technology? I think obviously referring to the fact that for now, a little more than a week, we have traded phones. We are one week out of four into the grand switch, the Twit switch experience. Mm-hmm. Has it been weird to be on Android
weird.
For you?
Pretty weird, Floyd Johnson. Pretty weird. I love it and I hate it.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm just uncomfortable with it. I want my iPhone back.
Is it just difficult to change? And that's kind of the end of the story. Like, you're used to one thing, you have a new thing. It's only been a week. I mean, a week isn't a very long time to completely upend and change, you know, how you compute on a daily basis with possibly the technology that you use the very most. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's just like, it's changed and it's different, therefore I want what I'm used to back?
Yes. Yeah. I'm not blaming Android. It's not you, Android. It's me. I'm just not comfortable with it. And it's made me think about how attached I am to my technology, and maybe it's a good thing to get a little bit of space.
It
becomes this thing of, you know, part of ourselves, or this thing that we
it's
just
extension of
infatuated
ourselves.
With in a way that I don't think is healthy. So it's good. I mean, and I miss my Apple Watch. I miss the way it records my activity. I miss that I'm always getting text messages, and I have your Moto 360, which is fine.
I'll go ahead and say it. I've been probably more impressed with the Apple Watch than almost anything else. My experience with the Apple Watch versus pretty much any of the wearables that I've tried on Android, very different. Like, there's just a level obviously a level of quality. I did not expect to actually appreciate the digital crown. I thought it was lame when I heard about the digital crown. Like, oh, you don't need that. It's a touchscreen or whatever. I use it all the time. It's like, it feels nice to use it. I don't know. So that's been one of my big surprises. Mind you, you're using a 2.5-year-old watch versus like the current
2-month
edition
old watch.
Yeah, 2-month old Apple watch. So big difference there.
Yeah. What have you? Have you found anything weird?
No, I wouldn't say that it's weird. Thankfully, out of this experience, I've learned the OS a little bit better. Like, that was always, I always felt like I was deficient in knowing one of the most known OSs of right now, which is the mobile OS that most people, well, a lot of people anyways, have in their mobile phones with iOS. So I'm happy that I'm learning the OS a little bit more and feeling a little bit more comfortable. It's just kind of, from the Android perspective, just kind of a general sense of like boredom, if that makes any sense. I feel like with Android, for better or worse, and I'm sure this is appealing to some people and not at all to other people, but I feel like there's more for me to get into the OS on a regular basis, more reason for me to kind of like tweak it or customize it or whatever. It's a strength of Android. Whereas with Android or with iOS, I feel like it's in my hand and I use it, and then when I'm done, I just put it down. You know what I mean? Like, it does what it does very well, but I like to get a little bit deeper, a little bit nerdier with my phone, and there isn't a whole lot of that pull in iOS. And so I just kind of, it becomes less, kind of like what you're saying, it becomes less of an infatuation and more of a, oh, I'll just use it to check my email, and okay, I did that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm experimenting with some widgets. I downloaded something that Kronos something or other that Leo recommended.
Is that a wearable thing?
No, it's a widget.
Kronos. Oh, okay.
It's a launcher. It's a widget. It's a thing.
Home and lock widget.
Yes.
Says the Play Store page that I just searched real quickly.
Yeah.
Apparently I've installed it before because this is installed in the Play Store.
You've installed it all before. It's all the same day. Yeah. And as I've said before, I am enjoying Android Auto, which is just an app. My car isn't Android Auto compatible, but it's just something that appears on my phone when it connects to my car via Bluetooth. And it makes it easier to see things and reminds me that I shouldn't be touching my phone while I'm driving.
And it's nice because it connects and recognizes your car's Bluetooth, automatically launches that interface, mm-hmm. kind of pulls a little bit of the reason for you to touch and fiddle with your phone while you're driving, even though you know you shouldn't, kind of removes that from the equation a little bit and gives you more of that car interface. Mm-hmm. Kind of along those lines. Like, obviously, I was away for a couple of days. We were in the mountains traveling. And I put this on Twitter, but I should just mention it. I was afraid to use Apple Maps because it's a general hesitancy after having heard, the stories a couple of years ago about Apple Maps not being very good and whatever. And still people will still say that on social media when I talk about this stuff. But because we were going up in the mountains and there was snow everywhere and I didn't want to get my family in a bad situation because I was trying this new thing for work. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, it turned out that Google Maps was not as good at knowing road closures sudden road closures due to snow and stuff like that in the same way that Apple Maps was. So ultimately, once I was there, I realized I got better, at least in that scenario, got better information on where to go from Apple Maps versus Google Maps. And that was way outside of what I expected. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. I mean, Apple Maps suffers because it was so horrible in the beginning.
Right. Yeah. And I think a lot of people kind of hold on to that and like, we're going to, mm-hmm. you're always going to suck because you sucked in the beginning. Right. And I'm sure, everything evolves.
Mm-hmm. Everything you also forgot your dongle that I gave you on your trip. That was sad. Even your daughter pointed out the fact that it's stupid.
Yeah.
That
she
can't.
She played. She did.
You said it's courage.
I introduced her to Super Mario Run one day, and she wanted to play it another day. And she had her headphones. She's like, "Where do I plug this in?" She was like, totally turning the phone all around. I was like, "Well, it doesn't have a headphone jack. It has a thing, and I forgot the thing, so you can't plug it in." She's like, "Well, that's stupid. Your phone does." I'm like, "Yes, exactly.
Yep."
Courage. I need to remember that.
Exactly. Yeah. TNT's fan of the day is Larry Greenup on Twitter, who said, "This is how I watch TNT on my flight back from Africa. This show and some of the other Twitch shows saved me from boredom." I am so glad we saved you from boredom, Larry. Thank you for watching. Show us how you watch or listen to TNT. Record a video. Take a picture of yourself or your setup. Post it on Instagram, Google+, Twitter, or Facebook. Use the hashtag #HowIWatchTNT. We will find it.
All right. Most people will admit that Apple's original iPhone changed things, at least to some extent. It was a big deal for the mobile phone world, caused monumental shifts in the industry as a result that we're still, kind of recognizing today in the way the whole market is. So now that AT&T has announced that it officially shut down its 2G wireless network earlier this month, we should pour one out for the iPhone 1 because it can no longer be used as a phone, which reminds me that phones of that era used the 2G network. And how were we okay with that? How is that okay?
Yeah, and that was a big deal. It's like, it's 2G. It's 2G.
Oh, man, so slow. Anytime like my phone resorts to 3G for whatever reason, I can't deal. Mm-hmm. So I can't even imagine going back to 2G now.
Yeah, I remember when 2G was a big thing. I remember when we were waiting for 3G.
Yeah, cross your fingers and hope. Mm-hmm. I mean, but it was kind of a thing when the iPhone first launched, right? That it was pretty slow to pull down, unless I imagine you were connecting to Wi-Fi. But I seem to remember that. It was kind of slow, but man, that was a long time ago. When was that? That was 2007, 2000?
The first iPhone?
Yeah, that was 2007 because
we just celebrated.
So goodbye, 2G. Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Yeah. But you can use your iPhone as many other things.
I suppose you still could.
It can still play. Patrick Delahanty had it playing Tech News Today, his original iPhone. So don't throw it away.
Turn it into a Tech News Today machine.
Yeah. Who cares? Nobody even really uses phones anyway as phones.
That's true. It's a really good point. Mm-hmm. TNT records live every Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, midnight UTC@twit.tv/live. You can be part of the show by emailing us at tnt@twit.tv. You can leave us a short voicemail, 260-TNT-SHOW, and find us on Twitter at TechNewsTodayTV.
And subscribe to the show. You can find all the ways to subscribe on whatever device you use. We don't care, iOS, Android. It's a personal choice. I understand that now. Go to twit.tv/TNT. And if you want to tweet at me, I'm at Megan Maroney.
I'm at Jason Howell on Twitter. Thanks to our technical director, of course, Brian. Thanks to Burke for helping out here at the studio. That is his camera. It looks like a desk. Burke looks a lot like a desk, but I promise you, he's there.
About gift horses. Oh yeah, what was it? What was it?
Oh, that's right. It was a gift horse. No big deal. Thank you, Burke, for that. thanks to Kevin for editing the show and making us look good, except for when we crack bad jokes like that one, Burke. And thanks for talking tech with us today. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Bye, everybody.